let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Oh, God. How we love you, Lord. Father, be able to come and gather together under your Spirit. Lord, it's such a privilege and an honor. And Lord, in the lateness of the hour, and Father, the evil that is every hand, Lord. Oh, how we need to come. Fulfilling your word, Lord, that you may teach us and speak to us and draw us closer to you. Lord, bless each and every one that's gathered or listening. Lord, may your will be done in our lives. Lord, we be ready for that great day. We know it's soon to come, Lord. Father, have your way now, we pray, in every phase of the service, that you'd get the glory and honor in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to start in our Only Bleed books, if you turn with me. 51. Glory to his name.
Yes, praise his
name. All the honors to him, saints. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to him, praise his name, singing glory. Feeling so much better.
Yes.
Oh, amen. talking about the good old way.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking.
Hey, man, sing it.
Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Truly, saints, you can be tired, wore out, trials, don't matter. Start talking about the Lord, meditating on Him. Oh, you just start feeling so much better. Amen. Sing it again.
Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Praise His holy name. Amen. Let's sing right beside there, page 7. When the redeemed are gathering. That's always something good to talk about, think about. Getting so close.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise that heavenly anthem.
Oh, think about it, saints. It's going to be soon.
When the redeemed,
amen,
are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wars like snow and frequent sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over all the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing. Oh, that city will be roaring. When the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen.
Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wars like snow and frequent sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, then the angels all will listen. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen.
Oh, it's like snow and people sing. Oh, how a child. And how they'll sing, oh God, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. When the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear His invitation, come be blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wars like snow and frequent sin. Oh, how is
to look forward to, saints. Amen. You know, there's a, I guess you'd call it a Christian song, secular Christian song. And the man, the word just makes you think. He says, what will it be like? He said, will I stand and praise him? Will I fall to my knees? Will I be able to speak at all or sing? When you get in the presence of God, I mean, you can't describe it. Oh, and the saints, we start singing, and the angels can't even talk. They've never experienced it, saints. What a day that's going to be. Looking forward to it. Oh, when the redeemed, oh, hallelujah, are gathering in. Oh, our sacks flow, amen, and free falls too. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Love to think about it, saints. What's going to be there? Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up and offer? Thank you, Jesus. That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. His love has no limit. Truly, his grace has no measure. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries, no not to man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he have a need or request for him, just hold it on your heart. Brother DeLong, would you like to pray this list?
Gracious Heavenly Father, it's already been good to be gathered here this evening and just to be able to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we sing these songs, how it means so very much to us. For Lord, we've experienced these things we sing about. Lord, the very love of God that burns within our hearts, the very desire to serve you, Lord, and to want to do everything you want us to do. Lord, we appreciate all these things. We thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord, that we can even tonight stand here by the mercy and grace of God and claim every promise that belongs to us, Lord. Father, you said by your stripes we are already healed. And Father, those that need healing tonight, we just trust that you'll help them by faith to reach out and catch a hold, Lord, and reach out and touch you, Lord, and let you take care of things for them. And Father, and all these other needs only you know about, Father, the spiritual needs, maybe possibly a financial need, but Lord, maybe even something that needs taken care of, Lord, that you only you can work out. But Lord, you specialize in things that are impossible looking. But Father, we just pray now that you'll just reach down and touch each one and meet the need in their heart and life according to your will, Lord. And Father, may we, as we prepare now to listen to the Word of God here real shortly. May we have our hearts open and just be pulling on, Brother Lord, to feed us the Word of God. And may we not be looking to the left or the right at somebody else, or maybe it's for someone else. But may we each one, Lord, just let the Word of God come in and search our own hearts. And Father, we would find any short places that need mended up and taken care of. We ask that you'd help us to do so. So now, Lord, we just commit the rest of it in your hands. And Lord, everything under your control. We commit it to you through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Salt. Anyone else have a salt special? Something just wants to sing with you?
Praise God.
Grace, you got something?
To be like Jesus?
Yes.
Amen.
To be like Jesus. Let's start with the chorus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. Oh, through life's journey,
amen. Page 67. all stand then, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Just a wonderful time in the Lord we should be having. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we are so grateful and thankful and humbled, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here this evening. Lord, to just be able to surround ourselves with your precious word and to come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to commit ourselves unto you and just ask, Lord, that as I commit myself to the speaking of your word, the Lord, we would all commit ourselves to the receiving of the precious word. Lord, asking you to take something from these scriptures and these quotes and just dip it into our hearts, Lord, maybe in a special way. And Father, we just ask that it would be to your glory and to your honor, and that, Lord, through it all, you would get the praise, and we'll never fail to see that you receive it all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He truly is wonderful. Amen. If you want to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, we'll read the scripture from there before you be seated. Amen. Just a little exhortation this evening, praying that you'll be able to take something from it. Just kind of, I wasn't sure what I was going to bring, and as I was coming actually down the road, and I was looking for something else and came across this message Brother Branham had preached and just got just a few little bit of it. And just couldn't get away from it. I thought, well, Lord, it's what we're going to bring this evening. Amen. Amen. And may it be simple. You may say, wow, I can't believe that's all he had for tonight. Amen. But may God's word just be multiplied to us. Amen. Amen. But in Isaiah 45th chapter, and let's start here at the 20th verse. And listen as the prophet speaking. Realizing this, the Lord is speaking through the prophet's lips. Amen. He says, assemble yourselves, 45 and 20 in Isaiah. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time, and who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. And there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Brother Branham, He read that in the message Looking Unto Jesus that he preached January 22nd, 1964, and he only read the two verses. But I just thought as you think about that, and even as you sang the songs tonight, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing I cried, And then as we sing that last little chorus, to be like Jesus on earth I long. What a time and place we're living. And realizing God is a jealous God. And he's declaring it here, there is none besides me. And as Brother Branham began to speak some things in this message, Look Unto Jesus, I'm just going to read it to you, the first little bit. And you know, you may say, well, you're just going to read it right off the pages to us. You know, I was thinking about that. But if time would go on, God moved by the Holy Ghost on men of old to write this Bible right here. And we don't think one thing about picking a chapter from Acts, from Galatians, or 1 Corinthians and reading that whole chapter. I don't think there's anything wrong with reading it word for word right off the pages that was presented. God speaking to his people. And that's exactly what was happening. And if we but could truly catch the revelation that's been left for us in all of God's precious word. You know, we've all heard it. We've heard it many times. But if we but could get into that humble position that, Lord, I need the revelation. I don't want to just know it. I don't want to just remember it. But Lord, I want to see it manifested and become a written epistle in my life. A living reality. You know, we go back and we read all that God done. And you think about the prophets and all that he did through this Bible in the Old Testament, declaring who he was and building to that place and time when Jesus was going to come on the scene. He come and dwelt among us, made flesh. And think about it. All the scriptures and all the quotes, everything back here foretold it was coming. They knew it. They read it daily in the synagogues. They rehearsed it. It was on their hearts. It was in their minds. And then he came, and they didn't recognize him. They missed the revelation of it being revealed and made manifest in front of them. And oh, we can do the same thing today if we're not careful. We can know all about it. We can read it. We can rehearse it. But if we miss the revelation, and you know, just to bear that in mind, our pastor's been saying this about having to have the Holy Ghost to receive revelation. And I just thought, just to place that into our hearts, you might have heard him say that, but in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham, in paragraph 318 and many other places, but he just says, oh, notice, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the divine revelation of Christ. There is no school, no scholar, and no man, how well educated, how godly, or anything else. There is no man could do it. And he says, I could sting hard here. But then he goes into talking about how many is born again. And how important that it should be in our hearts and our lives to realize that. That without him, I can read this all day long. I can rehearse it, I can learn it, I can do whatever I want. It won't do me no good. And you know, it seems like a little simple message. And you say, well, I can't believe there'd be that. But just listen as Brother Branham begins to speak here as the Lord had laid this on his heart to bring. And just think about this just for a moment. And he started right after he read the scripture. And he says, I know that isn't very much reading of the scripture. But that's sufficient because it's eternal. It's God's word. And if I should call this a text now for about 20 minutes or 30, I'd like to say, I want to say, looking unto Jesus. That's been the call for years. Look unto me, ye the ends of the earth. I would like to kind of turn that just a little bit and look especially unto me at the end of each world system, because he always makes himself known so real at the end of a world system when it's coming to its end. Look unto me, all ye ends of the world, I might say. The scripture says the ends of the earth. And ends is in plural, the ends of the earth. And many say, we've heard this for many years. Look unto me, look unto me. Well, that's true. But the thing and the question is, what do you see when you look? You've been asked that for a long time, look unto me. And hear people say, look. And if they mention the word look, means to pay attention, look up, or look at, or look out. And now God is saying here, look unto me, I am God and there is none other. And I wonder in a time that we are living now, what we would look to that would be more solid than God. And God is the Word, so look to the Word of God today for your answer. The Bible has the answer for this day. It's had it for other days, it's got it forever, because it is Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible has the answer. because the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ being revealed since the foundation of the world. And he has been revealed in the form of the prophets. He's been revealed in the form of kings. He's been revealed in the form of lawgivers, because that's what he is: king, prophet, lawgiver, and God.
Yes.
And he said, "Look unto me."
Amen.
And you know, how true is he's bringing this, and as we would stop to think about it, what am I looking to? You know, it happened back in Paul's day. If I might just for a moment get you to turn with me, I want you to refresh your mind to some things Paul said. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and actually Brother George Smith read this one verse when he was here. But let this grasp our attention, because, and think about this for all the time that's been going forth. But in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, highlight it in 1 Corinthians, and let's go to the 10th verse to begin. And listen as Paul's beginning to speak to the Corinthians, and you'll remember Brother George reading this, but just let it be more than just scripture to you. Think about what Paul was saying and what Paul was. He was the messenger for the age. And he didn't come pointing people to himself. He was saying the same thing Brother Branham was saying in the message, "Look unto Jesus, look to him." He was pointing him. He was magnifying him. And think about it as Paul begins to speak here. He says, "Now I beseech you," 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 10th verse. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment."
Yes.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just come to that? If we could see every true born-again believer, and they will, and God, that's every elected, that's predestinated, will come to that point. "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, and by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, 'I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided?" And I love how Paul just, if you just really think about what he's saying, and just let it, he was digging into the root of the problem here. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also in the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God."
Yes.
Paul knew where his power laid, and yes, what was within him, and what he was constrained, and what he was pointing to. And I want you to think about that, though. Here's three brothers at a time, back in time, and Cephas being Peter, realizing Peter walked with the Lord. And some was looking, "Well, Peter, he's got the keys. I'm going to follow Peter. Paul, I'm going." But they were speaking the same thing.
Yes.
They were preaching the same word.
Yes.
And God was given the increase.
Yes.
And that's the key, as Paul goes over into the third chapter. And just put this in your heart and let it think about today, where we're standing today. In the third chapter and the fourth verse to the 11th, as Paul begins, he says, "For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?"
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory. "I have planted," Paul said, "I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase."
Yes.
Paul was in no way going to in any way take glory for anything God had done.
Amen.
He made sure, I've planted. By God's grace, I planted it. Apollos, he come and he poured the water to it. But God's gave the increase.
Yes,
"So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Just, you can just think about God and his greatness. Now we stand here today. And as a thinking upon this topic, what am I looking to? You know, we might have all come from different walks of life. Some, we might have come from Pentecost, we might have come out of Baptist, we might have come from Methodist, Mennonite, Amish. We might have come from all different walks, might have come from another message church. And all along life's path, we've had many people that we've maybe followed a pastor here, followed a pastor there, followed someone here or there, that we gave respects to and that we honored. As we were traveling, God brought us each one the path that he saw fit for us to travel. My footsteps, because I believe I'm one of them righteous, was ordained of God. He knew the path I had to trod to get here where I am today. Same for you. But God is the one that led me to where I'm standing today. By his mercy and grace, he used many different people along that pathway to preach this gospel to me and to lead me. And then when it was time, by the being in humility and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he's led me to where I should be. And he's never failed to feed me the word that I needed to cause me to grow. You know, it's all in his timing. And how, as we gather here this evening, oftentimes going through life, we begin to look to the, we read the word, and this is God in spirit, in word form. And as we are looking into it, are we truly looking at it with an open heart and a clear vision of saying, Lord, reveal yourself to me, and praying and asking God to increase it to my heart? Or do I take the approach, well, I remember I didn't understand this one thing one time, and I asked so-and-so about it, and they really expounded and opened that up to me. And now I got that, I understand. You know, our pastor is wonderful, and if he can expound something to us, he's going to wonderfully do that. But the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of divine revelation. And as you think about that, if you've ever received a revelation, you might have been sitting under our pastor today, you might have been sitting under a pastor somewhere else. But if God has ever dipped revelation into your heart to a place of saying, Lord, it was God himself that placed it there for you. And it's only his mercy and his grace that if we continue to look to him, he's going to see us through to the end to a change of this body. And by his grace, it'll only be him that can truly reveal to me the word that I need to give the increase that's going to bring this body under subjection to this precious word and to bring me into that place to where I can truly see what is done. But you know, so many times, as Brother Branham said, I'm kind of getting a little bit out of order here, but we'll just go on with it. I didn't even look at the time when I started. But here in a trial preached April 27, 1964, Brother Branham, paragraph 39, think what he as he reads this. He says, In the age of every seer and every prophet, it's been the same. We find people living in the glare of another light. And I want you to think about that. When Jesus came, as he's going to expound on, them Pharisees and Sadducees, what were they saying? We have Moses. We've got the word. We've got it all here. We know this. And how Jesus told him, had you known them, you'd know me. But think about it as he goes into it here. He said, but we find people living in the glare of another light. And Jesus said, you garnish the walls and the tombs of the prophets, and you're the one that put them in there. See, they build up something over a message, then live in the glare of that light and refuse to walk in the light that is of this day. And that's what the reason they refused to know Jesus Christ when he came. And that's why Jesus exhorted them, saying, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. But they had got so many creeds and things and their traditions that Jesus said, you've made the word of God of no effect by your traditions and the way it's been in every age. Amen. And you go back and look at when Paul came on the scene, and people wanted to look to man as Paul came preaching and Peter was preaching. But they lost sight of what Paul and Peter was preaching. And they got their eyes centered upon the man that was bringing the word to them themselves. Right. And as Brother Branham is fixing to say here, they failed to realize the revelation that was coming from the word that they were preaching. They failed to see the reality of it. They failed to see it take them over and bring them under subject to the word and to see the word made manifest. That's right. And it's so easy for us to maybe look at God's word with a thought or a creed or an idea of where I've come from or where I've been. I might, what if I take God's precious word and brother so-and-so said it was this way. No, I know the prophet said it like that, but I'm going to stick with this. I'm hindering God because I won't give him an opportunity to reveal to me because I'm shutting him out. I'm not laying there with an open heart in humility saying, Lord, open up my heart. Maybe I thought I truly understood this, but Lord, am I missing something? Think about our precious prophet in this last age. And many times he come, and a few different times, you know, he bring something. And then God would reveal to him, he'd have to come back and say, I said it like this, but this is how it is. God, ever mindful of his word to watch over it for its time and its season and its place, and to make sure that it brought the increase that it was supposed to bring. But how, even back in Paul, you can see how, look at those disciples that walked with Jesus. And people, that's what people seen. People that weren't, they wanted to be with those people. Well, Paul, he was a troublemaker. I don't know. He never. You can see the attitude people were taking. But they were failing to look to Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was trying to show them. And he was pointing them back. Forget the men. Forget us. We're just here to do a job. But look to Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate. He is your Savior. He is your leader. He is your Heavenly Father. And how the prophet of this last age, when he come, how he kept preaching the same thing. He said they put my name up in lights when it should become, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. Yeah. And that's maybe not in his exact words, but that was the message he was conveying. It's about him, not about us. We're just here as messengers. We're just here to do a job. As our pastor says many times, we're just here to serve you. But God is here to take care of his own and to feed that little elected and to see her grow. And oh, how it ought to churn within our hearts each time we have an opportunity. It's so easy to get into that routine of I'm just coming to church. I'll see what brother so-and-so's wearing. I'll see what sister so-and-so did over there. And I'm going to hear what he's got to say, but I just don't know. But do we come with the right attitude and the motive? Looking to Jesus Christ for what he has. He is. The Holy Spirit is here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And he told us through a prophet, you'll get out of a service what you put into it. What you come expecting is how you're going to go out the door. And oh my, do we truly come expecting every time. May it be just one scripture. It might just be one verse. But if it strikes the right chord in our heart, that God can just dip that in there and grab a hold, thank the Lord for it. Amen. It was worth every word we spoke the whole time we're up here ministering. But oh, to see God do the work that's needed through his provided channel.
Yes.
Let me go on here. He says, he said, see, they build something up over a message and live in the glare of that light and refuse to walk in the light of this day. Let me drop down. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me, but they've got so many creeds and things and their traditions. Jesus said, you've made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. And that's the way it's been in every age. God will judge the world by Jesus Christ. And many times you see what it is we people try to have our own interpretation of the word and to say Mark 16 from 9th verse on is not inspired. Why isn't it inspired? God doesn't need any interpreter. He's his own interpreter. God does his own interpretation. The Bible said it's of no private interpretation. And God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That don't need interpretation. He said a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That didn't need any interpretation. She did it. Although when she did it in the time that she did it, the people were so full of creed till they didn't understand it. And it went right over top of their heads. Think about it. It was laying there on the printed. It was there. They knew the prophet had prophesied it and went forth. This is going to happen. Think about where we're standing at the end of all things. This is fixing to wrap up. And a prophet's declared there will be a people ready for that catching away. There will be someone standing there without spot or wrinkle, dressed in his righteousness. It did it, and every time it'll do it again. Now we find out that's right. People does that. Christ in the church, we find in this day that we're living, there's nothing different from any other day. Men in the church is always praising God for what he's done and always saying what he's going to do, but ridiculing what he's doing now. Think about it. That's always been in the history of the church. It's the same way tonight.
It's because that man-made theories get into it and get it all mixed up. Yes. And when the true word speaks for itself, see, they're so full of creeds till they're so blinded by that glare, they can't accept it. And oh my, we might have been walking this way for a long, long time, but don't let us get blinded to what God is trying to do by something maybe we're hanging on to from our past. You know, you think of myself coming from where I came from and things I grew up in, and it's so easy sometimes to maybe hold on to something that I heard, something that left and hanging there. And if it's with the word, amen to it. But how we must weigh those things that we've come through as we grow in Christ. And as we hear the word, we become the word. And we're still here. There's still a reason we're gathering every time we can. Yeah. Underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and listening to that precious word. Yes. What am I coming here looking for? If I feel I've got all the word, I don't need nothing else. I'm just sitting here taking up time. And boy, I could sure tell you how to preach your message. No, that's not it. But we've come here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit to let him have his way. And if we come with that attitude and humility and saying, Lord, what is my portion? You watch God grant the increase to those that are hungry and looking for that approach. Yes. Amen. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And oh my, he knows what each one of us had need of tonight when we walked through that door. But this, it goes so far. Sometimes we get ourselves, we can get our, let our mind get clouded to realize he is my Savior. He is my healer. He's everything I need. And he's all sufficient. He is the great physician. He's standing near. But sometimes we can kind of get into that routine. Oh, you know, think about how many got into the prayer line. If Brother Branham will just pray for me, I know I'll be all right. They forgot about God. They forgot who was standing there. He said, I can't heal you. Even if I stood here tonight, he can't heal you. Jesus Christ himself couldn't heal you if he stood there. He's already done it. But think about it. The prophet... But people failed to see who was speaking through him. They failed to see him. We can do the same thing. We can come through those doors and let our minds become clouded with tradition of going to church. And we're going to hear brother, our pastor speak wherever we may attend. And we put limits on God because we don't come looking to him. We just come looking to a tradition of we're coming to church. I'm going to hear preaching. I'm going to hear singing. And I'm going to go home. And I'll be back next Sunday. That's how we roll sometimes, it seems. But God is ever present, every hour of the day, every day, every minute. He's there wherever you are, waiting. All he needs to hear is a whisper. Oh, just watching over his own. And oh my, to know that if I've got a need, he's right there waiting. He is my ever-present help in the time of need. Oh, and his grace is sufficient. But oh, how we ought to truly make sure our focus is focusing in on him. Brother Branham, I'll read a couple, little bit more here. Amen. I got a little bit of time. Let's see. As he drops into that with that thought in mind, paragraph 13 or 12 and 13 in the message, look unto me. He says, and you say, he says, now he said, look to me. And you say, I've done that. It depends on what you looked at, determines what you look at, is where and what you look for him. What are you looking at? What purpose do you have in looking at him? It only depends on what you look for, that's what you find. Usually people come to a meeting, a religious gathering. Some of them go to find a big crowd of people to sit with. Some, and oh, I hate to say this, but it's true. Some go to church just to show their clothes they're wearing. Some go to church because they say it's the biggest church in the city. It's got the best name. Certain class of people goes to this church, and see, that's wrong. You're not looking to the right thing. That church is established for many people to go to services and just, I'm sorry, God said, be established for, God said, look to me. And many people go to services just to be seen. And sometimes people go to services, and this is bad to say this, we could linger on it a long time. But they go to church with their mind already made up before they go. If a certain thing is said or something's against their idea, they'll get right up and walk out. They just simply will not stand because they've got their own idea of what it must be. And that's the very reason that Jesus was not understood when he came to earth. If they would have only looked into the word of God instead of their tradition of that day, they would have known he was the Son of God because the Bible plainly declared his full coming and he come in the full revelation of the word. And each generation reveals him in the full revelation that's allotted for that time. This generation must reveal Jesus Christ. That's the revelation of him that's promised in the word must be revealed into this generation. And if the churches won't receive it, somebody will rise up to do it.
Yes.
He made us a promise for this day. He's made us a promise. And our promise today is just to sure to be revealed as it was to Abraham, for we are the children of Abraham. Being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs with him according to the promise. So many people come in and they draw up their own opinions, setting a full gospel meeting or any other meeting, and they'll just wait for a few moments until something is said that they don't agree with, and then up and out. They just won't stay to hear anymore. They won't stay to see if there was and what the truth of it is. And we say, is that the Spirit? Where did it come from? It's always been. That come from Genesis. It was down through the Scripture many times. When Paul was speaking one time to a group of people, they listened to him closely as long as he stayed in the law. But when he began to tell about the revelation and the heavenly vision, it quickly changed the congregation. And they rose up screaming. If they had just listened to what the man said, he was revealing the truth of God by the word. Oh my. And if we would truly open up our hearts and not put our own interpretation or my own idea or apply some thought to it, but just lay open before God and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me from the pages of your word as it's being brought to my mind. As God leads us along, wherever we may hear the word, God's got a channel that it comes through. And there's a purpose for every word that's brought at every time. And if we would lay but with that attitude before God, what an increase could be given to us.
Amen.
And it's easy. It's easy for any of us, myself included, to take something and say, I know what that means. And block off what maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me, how we should come in with such humility. And to sit underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit and realize that if he doesn't impart it to my heart, I'll go out that door the same person I came in. But all but by grace, he's given me the opportunity to come in and to prepare myself and to sit underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and to have him speak to me. And as I sit there, won't my heart burn within me as he talks with me along the way? Amen, it will. You'll feel it. You'll know that God is here speaking to you as an individual. But oh yes, it may come sharp. It might step right on my toes. It might cut me to ribbons. Maybe I truly see my short place where I need to climb. But thank God that he brought it to my attention and it was there. And there was something in there to prick my heart and say, that's right. Amen to the word of God. Hallelujah. For pray that we think about these things in a greater measure. Amen. As you see the different examples. That even when Brother Smith was here, as I said, to think about some of the little examples he left. And it was on my mind and I can't seem to get it back. So maybe there's a reason for it. We'll let it slide. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. But it's just so wonderful to see what God is doing for us and the opportunity that we have. And that his precious word is laying here so abundantly to us to read, to rehearse, to have it fresh in our hearts and in our minds. And to come in expecting to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to God's precious word. And even the scripture, you know, so many times people get into over, it just seems like as you look back over time, God sent a prophet, the word come forth, many men rose up. I walked with the prophet, I slept with him, I was here. Preachers all over the land had the great revelation of this new thing or that new thing. It just seemed like it was rampant. And as that went forth, and it seems to bring confusion amongst a people and to kind of lead them down that path of, I'm following this one, just like it did with Paul and Peter. Think about it. You can just see the scriptures repeating themselves. But there's a little bride that looked past that. God was calling to her. He's still calling to her. Calling her from the chaos and the confusion. And drawing them to the word and the word alone. To look at what God said and to pray and ask God for the revelation of the word. That it would truly bring their body under subject to the word. And as Paul said, be not conformed to this world. And you think about how many of those churches during that time, some tried to use governments and a hard ruling we do this, and this is allowed, that's not allowed. This is allowed, that's not allowed. And all these different things that went through. And I can go there, but you can, this group could go here, that group couldn't go there. And you see it all in there. But if we just go back to what God said and read the things that God spoke through these men of old and what's laying here, and truly in prayer consult the Lord and say, Lord, what's it mean to be conformed to this world? I can stand here and tell you all day what it means to me. But if God doesn't open up your heart and dip that into your heart, it won't mean anything. But I'm to be transformed. I'm looking to leave this world. I'm not looking to stay here. I want no part of this down here. I've been called to a higher calling. By God's grace, my feet's been set on a path to run a race and to help see it finished. And I pray each one of us feel that burning in our hearts. Let this world grow strangely dim, and let them take the money. The gas prices can go through the roof. The houses can be whatever they are. But God has called me for one purpose, and that's to be a living sacrifice to Him, that His word would be manifested to this generation, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in a body of believers. He sent a prophet, and He manifested in that prophet and vindicated Him to the fullest. But there's a little bride, He said He would vindicate her too and show forth His life through her. Not what she'll be or what she can be in herself, but it's what He will do through her. And oh my, may we be a people that's truly yielded to that. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. And this was at the tail end of that message, paragraph 219. He said, here not long ago I had a pair of field glasses and I was trying to watch some antelope or an antelope over in a field. And my son was trying to show me, he is quite a bit younger. So he said, take them glasses, Daddy. There stands the antelope right out there. And I said, I can see him with my natural eye. And he said, take these glasses. And when I looked, I seen about 10 antelopes. But the glasses was out of focus. And when I went to focus them in, all 10 became one. And if you will focus your mind to God's word, the three will be one, see? But your ecclesiastical glasses get out of focus when you try to make him three. He is one, see? But it depends on what you're looking at. What do you see when you do look? Remember, you can only see him as you look at him through the word. You can't look at him through a textbook. You can't look at him through a creed. You will see two or three gods and everything else in them creeds. But look at him through the word and you'll see that he is Emmanuel, God made flesh among us. And he said, I am God, and besides me there is none other. He is God. Amen. And hallelujah, I want to make him as big as he is. Yes. Hallelujah. And truly yield myself to him, that through him he would do whatever he seen fit to do in my life. But Lord, let me be a representation of you. Amen. Yes. Let's all stand if you would. Pray you can take a little something from it. Amen. God's word is so precious. If we just will just open up our hearts and focus our attention. And remember, it's not just coming to a church service. It's not just coming to see one another, though we love that and it's great. But just think who you're coming to sit here with. Think this is his provided channel that he provided. Yes. Oh, what a great opportunity we would think we had if, you know, as the prophet expounded, if the president would ask you to come to his house. We may not be so happy today for that, but there was a time when that would have been an honor to truly got to go and sit down and have that opportunity to come into a man of what, yes, you know, someone that was what we would consider a great man, and somebody that was doing something great. But think about how great an opportunity you have to come and sit underneath the presence and to commune and to know you carry him with you. The portion, the one that paid the price for your sins, washed you white as snow, that you could sit here and lift up hands and praise and worship him. Oh my, what a glorious opportunity it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little song, How Great Is Our God. Ask our pastor to come.
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water. Trust in me. Sing it again.
Wonderful. I was thinking about many, many things that a brother was reading and talking about what he read and things. And I was thinking, here I am. I'm sitting back there blessed again. Amen. That the Word of God is so precious to me. There's so many that can hear the Word of God. It's just, oh, it's just words. But as again, by God's grace, you sit there and hear the Word and you can just measure yourself up by it. You see, I'm a part of that. The scriptures was put there for you and for me. These things were written for our admonition. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. And I was thinking about how he began to mention the scripture, you know, about our very mind. You know, here we are. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But then I really, really like the other ending part of it. To be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean people would have that in their heart to want to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Absolutely. God has predestinated the people that will have that very desire to prove his word, to see his word proven in their life, to see God prove his word throughout their whole entire everyday life. Oh, that's the burning desire. So I'm so thankful for that. Appreciate our brother bringing forth the word tonight. I know he probably was tired and had a long day and everything, but I appreciate him doing it because I had a tired, long day too. So I appreciate him helping me out. Amen. I'm just so thankful for that. It's good to have somebody you can depend on. I really appreciate that with all my heart. You don't know how much I appreciate it. So may God bless us together. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative truly in our hearts for just everything you do and everything you've done and everything you will do. Lord, you're such a mindful and caring God. And Lord, you care for us. That's the beautiful thing of it. Lord, we oftentimes have failed so many times in life. I'm sure there's not one in here, Lord, that can't say sometime in life they've been slowful. Lord, maybe they've let the things of life, they've gotten carried away, and maybe they've been tossed here, tossed there, one time or another. But Lord, just think how you still love us. And I think about that scripture many, many times, Lord. But how, as men, that we should love our lives, our wives, as Christ has loved the church. And Lord, what a love you must have had for your people. And you do have. Lord, that though she fails and though she makes mistakes, though maybe times in her life she didn't do exactly what you wanted her to do, but yet you love her. And Lord, you love her so much you rebuke and chasten her and bring her back around. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. The love of God is just beyond what our minds sometimes can comprehend. But Father, we pray that you would help us to understand greater. We appreciate everything you've done for us tonight now. Appreciate the word of God. May each one of us go out a better person, Lord, and surrender greater to you. Let you have a greater preeminence in our lives. We ask that you'd help us to do so. Again, just watch over us, keep us safe. Bring us back, Lord, next appointed time if you should tarry. And until then, Lord, may we always praise you, give our life to you, pray, read the word of God, meditate and sing and make melody in our hearts to you. May all these things be in our lives as we may glorify you above all. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that. us sing little chorus, O love of God, how rich and pure. Amen. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels sung. May God richly bless you.